is your man Blackson, and this is All About Grime. You're now listening to Ison Selector. Pidow!
Maxta. Boom. How did you manage to be next to Wiley at 13, 14 years old?
Because I was already on Kiss 100. Like, I was already on mainstream radio at 14. Like,
you?
Yeah, because, you know, basically...
Who, like...
I did it myself. Like, nobody showed me, really. Like, I was just the type of kid that was very determined from a young age. So I wouldn't eat at school. I'd just save my money every week for studio. I'd get, like, £3 a day to go to school. So every week I could go to studio for 1 hour because it's £15 an hour. So I've just got more hunger than most people had at 14 when they was busy having a girlfriend for 4 years. I was like... I was in it already, yeah.
Okay. So you were used to do this radio
yeah, like,
freestyle.
Honestly, yeah, I was like, I used to play the cello, I used to play the drums in church, like I'd done a lot of like music stuff growing up. I used to be in the Steel Pan band in year six. That's when I first ever saw my name on a CD. And when I got it and it said my real government name and all the other people in the Steel Pan band, and I was like, yeah, that when I held the CD in my hand, I don't know why, but I just knew it wasn't going to be the last time that my name was on the CD. I just knew it. I knew that I was going to go do those sort of things in life.
You were maybe the only grime artist at the time to be signed on like a major, you know, like Sony's.
Yeah, there was a lot of us, man. It's just people don't really remember, but like my best friend at the time, Shiz, he was signed.
Okay.
He was on Virgin. I was on Sony. Amplified Dot was on Virgin. Everybody, it's like how it is now. Like everyone had a deal, really. Like everyone, P Money was signed. Everybody was signed. You know, people look back at that time and they don't really remember what was going on, but everybody had a deal.
How was this experience?
It was interesting because I got a deal for the wrong reason.
Can you explain to me? Can you explain our audience what was exactly the deal that you had over there?
It was like an artist development deal with Sony.
So. What was your engagement? What were they expecting from you?
Well, I'll tell it to you like this. The first time I sat down around a table with 9 people, sat around a table,
jeez,
and they said, Max is about to make the best hip-hop album ever. And then I knew that they didn't know anything about me. And I sat there and I laughed in my head. And I said, this is going to last for like 2 years, Max. And I just get out of it. But it was just like, basically, Tiny Temple was big. There was a lot of black pop stars at the time. So basically, they just thought this kid could be another black pop star. They didn't care about me. They didn't know. They didn't understand my music.
No.
They thought I was a hip hop rapper. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they didn't know nothing about me, bro. So it was just like, it was nice to get the deal. I paid for a lot of holidays for my mom. I went to Vegas. So I was in the Mandalay Bay. I did the Hangover weekend with all my uncles. Like, I got life stories. I've had a lot of crazy experiences. I've chilled out. I hung out with Bill Clinton and Jamal Edwards for like an hour. Like I've been in rooms that people won't be in ever. But like other than that, it was just like that glitz and the glamour stuff. Fickle world, fake, like, you know. It's just like A&Rs that come from, hey, my name is blah, blah, blah. I'm from Leeds. All I've ever done in my life is listen to indie music. But now when I wake up, my 9-to-5 is telling Maxta what type of music to make and what I dares to try. The British Music Corporation will never run me in that way. Like, as in music world industry, will never have that authority over me to tell me what to make. That's why now I'm the producer, I'm the engineer. It's because I came out of that.
Are you proud of the track that you released at this time?
Yeah, man. Because guess what? Yeah. You see, like now, there's a lot of big rappers, a lot of big grime MCs. They still don't have the chart positions that I got in 2013. So yeah, I'm proud of it because there was no streaming. People had to buy the songs those times. So it shows me my power, my musical power. I know what happens when you put me in the right place or if I put myself in the right place. Way before streaming, I already had a tune at number 43 and the label just thought it was going to be a radio tester, you know? So I know my ability is nuts.
It seems it was in another interview you talk about this. I was laughing when I hear this. The guy will say to you, okay, this is BBC One Extra track list.
Yeah.
And now, please... You have to create a song that would go with
in
this
the playlist. Yeah,
thesis.
And it's like me and this producer called Show and Prove because he was like,
yeah, solid.
He
producer,
was the main producer that I chose to work with at the time. He's my friend, so I was like, let's just do it. And it was me and him. We was in Sony. They put the rid. They had 2 copies, one for him, just in case. You know, like one for him, one for me. So we looked. There was like, you lot go to the studio and make a tune that fits into the Radio 1 playlist. And the thing is, sometimes when you have the ability to make every type of music. people will try and use you as a guinea pig because it's easy for you. Like, so we went to the studio, the first song we did, like, ended up on the Radio 1 playlist. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I can be as exact as the brief. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like, so it was one of those things they told us, because them times it was like a lot of songs like Niggas in Paris and stuff. So it was like boom, 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 boom. That's what they wanted, like boom, back, like boom. Like they wanted that boom, boom, boom. So we went in the
like
studio.
Like the Flodan one.
Something like that, yeah, 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 yeah. And Show and Prove was making all them type of beats at the time.
Uh-huh.
So we just went in the studio. The first tune we made, like, I'll be real, it went to like B-list Radio 1. So I guess we made a tune that fits in the playlist, I guess. But it's like, that's not why, I don't make music for that.
No.
Like, I don't want to be on the Radio 1 playlist.
Would you do it again? Definitely.
What, signed to a major? Nah, I would.
No, but I mean, back in the days, you don't regret this.
Oh no, no, no! Honestly, I don't.
I would say
it.
That it was an experience.
It was sick.
You had
like,
to
it
do
was it. Sick. It was we sick agree. At the time. It was amazing. Like I used to just like everybody in my area. I was on all the biggest billboards. Yeah. I was on the sides of the buses. Like it was sick. Like it was stuff that people have never seen before in my area. You know, so it was sick. But just like coming away from it. It was like, and also nowadays I'm like, I'm so far away from it that I can be a bit more open about it. But when I was like, when I was in times in my career where I weren't that happy, it's like I didn't want to talk about that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I thought I still haven't sorted out what I'm doing. But now that I know where I'm going or what I'm trying to do, I can be a bit more like, it's not, I'm not like upset, I'm not bitter. It's just like, for the next artist, I have to give an honest portrayal.
Yeah, yeah. Know? This is why I'm asking also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of upcoming talent, for the moment, my advice is also make sure that you do everything by your own as much as possible, mm-hmm. and avoid
same. I would say that now
sign to another let's say company who, because they will change. I would say the diamond who came actually from the dirt.
Away from Graham, quickly. I'll show you. I'll just give you a quick example. This is what labels in like England do. So you have somebody like Lowski. He does drill. The labels will be like, we see potential in you. You can do something else. So now, say like, there's a kid, Lowski, he's like a drill rapper. But his recent music, he went 2 years ago. I was a big fan of him because he was like rapping some hard shit. Now he's singing because that's what labels do, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they do. They see the most in you. Oh my God, you can do this. Yeah. I'm not that guy. Like, I just need to make music and drop a lot of projects for the next 9 years.
What's your label today?
My label today? Well, basically, I'm on my own. I started my own company like a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
So when I did the Maxtape 2, I did a deal with Universal for my label. I did a deal. It was Universal.
What's the deal with Universal? It's like distribution?
It's like they basically signed my record label, basically.
What's the goal of it?
It's just like I put out my music how I want to put it out. And nobody tells me how to do it.
Yeah, but what's the advantage to sign with Universal?
You know what? Big budgets for like videos, like big budgets for like PR.
And what's their return on this? How does it
basically
work?
I'm not taking an advance like a normal artist. I'm just taking a budget. You know, so it's like,
how did they get the money back?
How they get the money back from my streams and stuff? Like the Maxtape 2 has
there's
already
like
recruit.
Percentage. This is how yeah, yeah, yeah. How so percentage
like whatever they give you yeah. Obviously it's like an advance in some type, but the difference is I wouldn't take a record label advance. I don't need to. I'm all right in life and stuff. Like, I'm not one of those uncomfortable people or whatever. So it's like, I'm not forced by money, like, to kind of do stuff. But away from that, it's like, yeah, like, obviously, I just think that works better for me. Like, what I take from labels is, like, the money for the video.
Uh-huh.
The money for the, like, the bare minimum. I don't take any money for myself because I can make that on, like, off the back end. But, yeah, basically, it's like a whole new business model where I just don't want to take anything that I don't need to take.
Okay.
It's an easy way to kind of headlock someone, give them stuff they don't need and make them have to pay it back, right?
You've mentioned that you play some instruments.
Do you know what? I don't play any instruments anymore.
No, not
like,
really.
Because everyone used to diss me, man. And I think I was like, you know, when you're young and impressionable, like, you don't have a backbone yet. So, like, people was like, yo, like, have you ever seen, like, people say stuff like, have you ever seen a black kid with a cello? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they'd be like, bro, this kid's mad weird. Like, why is he coming to school with a cello, like, on his back, like this? So it's just like, I can't lie, them times it disheartened me because I didn't really know, I didn't have my own identity yet. So I was like clinging to like group identity and stuff. So like, I just like kind of, I was a bit of a like, I'm not proud of how I handled that, but when you're young, it's like group mentality, isn't it? And it's just crazy. But that's the only reason. I used to do like the piano, everything. And then when people started saying that, I was like, nah, Alright, cool. Then I just came back as Maxstar in the playground. That was it. I just came back. I was like, nah, okay, forget the cello. I'm gonna be the best MC. Like, cool.
I've read
it kind of happened a little bit.
I've read that you used to listen to Big Pun back in the days.
I still do, man. Capital Punishment is one of my favorite albums. Like, there's a joint with Noriega called You Came Up.
Yeah.
And like in my head, I'm like, I always listen to that, and I'm like, one day I'll be able to listen to that and be like, yo, you came up. You know, it's like, for now I'm on the journey, but like, I always know one day I'm gonna listen to Noriega and Big Pun, You Came Up, and I just chill out and be like, you know, it's been like 15, 20 years, but we came up, man.
What's your influence today?
Today, East London.
Yeah?
Just like, not grime, just East London as a place. It's always been my influence, just the place.
Okay.
I think it's one of the most interesting places I've been, very interesting characters, and I represent those characters.
Okay.
Basically, I try and give them a voice.
We talked about this cheap statement a few hours ago.
Yeah.
Cheap said, would you believe me if I said that I can handle 5 MC at once, rap, grime? Yeezy replied, if you were to go back-to-back with any of the new generation MCs, you wouldn't be able to handle it.
Yeah.
The anger and passion would be too much for it.
Yeah.
He said that Mess, Tommy B or himself would be able to handle it. What do you think about it?
What do I think of what Chip said or what Yeezy said, or just
both,
overall?
Both.
Well, I think like on a banner thing, Chip's cool. But I think he's lucky that there's not 5 Maxters. Like, obviously, because that's a mad thing. Like, I don't see anyone dealing with that, like, by themselves, you know? But that's just, like, me being dumb. but Yizzy, right? I believe, yeah, like, when I was young, I was, like, when I clashed these guys, like, Double S, Shocker, Vertex, they was 3 years older than me. They was all better than me. Like, I knew they were better than me, but I'm the sort of person that likes a challenge.
Yeah.
So when I see Yizzy kind of putting himself in the line of fire for a challenge, I think, mate, I remember when I was clashing these older guys and everyone told me I couldn't do it, but by the end of it, I embarrassed all of them. Wow. To this day, like, so it's like, I just feel like I don't know the ins and outs of anyone, so I can't say what Yizzy is or isn't, like, and I can't say what he's gonna rise to, just like, man don't know what I'd do if I was pushed into a corner, you know? So I think I rate the ambition, and I don't think people should stifle the ambition, because I don't think Chip is like a god level MC.
Yeah,
I think he's cool,
he's good, yeah.
I think Kano's better. I think there's like, and obviously that's a different age group, but
I would say also, yeah,
it's just definitely. Like, as in, I don't really listen to like the Chip sort of rappers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't listen to like the stylish Bosey. Like, I don't really listen to, like, I do here and there, but it's like my favorite rap, like my favorite lyrics. If I'm going to say a man's like a sick lyricism guy, it's not just for like having songs about girls and bitches and things like that. It's a bit deeper for me. It takes a lot more to stir my pot, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's just facts.
Who would you like to collaborate with now? Because you collaborate with like almost a lot of guys.
Out of the two people would be like Timbaland and Dizzy Rascal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, straight. Timbaland and Dizzy Rascal, yeah. I think there's a load more others, because as an artist, you don't just want to collab with one person, you know. But like, for me, it'd just be loads of people that I haven't collabed with, and people that have something unique about them. Like, say, like those two people, Dizzy Rascal and Timbaland. There is not another.
I hope you do best for this year, then.
Yeah, we'll man. See. You know what? We'll Timbaland see. Replied to one of my tweets like a couple weeks ago, and because I was like, I didn't even reply back to him because I was like, okay, like you know, it's possible in the internet day and age, like loads of, the best thing about kind of being an artist in this day and age is like the scope for things to happen is like just bigger than it used to be, you know? Like my friend just did a song with Slipknot.
Yeah.
With Corey, is it Corey Taylor?
Yeah, yeah.
So my friend Kid Bookie, he just tweeted them like, he just tweeted Corey Taylor like, yo, I want to do a song with you. Boom. A month later, he has a song with him. They've got a video out and da-da-da. So I think it's an amazing time to just do music, man, with all the like, the connections of the internet and stuff, you know.
What's your plan for this year?
I just dropped a project, but I got 3 more projects coming this year. No, 4
already. Jeez.
4. I got one coming out like next week.
Okay.
But that's just a 3-track prequel to Electric 01 by myself solo, because I got some clothing coming out next week, so it's coming out with the clothing. 3 tracks. It's called Prince of Grime.
Okay.
Like, that's the name of that EP. It's 3 tracks. It's called Prince of Grime. Obviously, I produced everything, and it's just me spitting by myself. That's coming out literally next week.
I'll do my best to promote it.
And I can't lie to you, the way I'm doing that one is like, I'm selling 50 t-shirts, right?
Yeah.
The first 50 people that buy the t-shirts, yeah, they get the EP for free. And
boom.
And then the
EP. Do you have any t-shirt
here? iTunes and Apple, that's later.
Where's the t-shirt?
3 weeks.
Where's the t-shirt?
You know what? I will send you one, like, for real, for real. Because it's all getting manufactured and stuff. But that's the plan. Like, basically, it's not coming out on iTunes and Apple Music. It's just for the first 50 people that buy one of my t-shirts.
Okay.
And then maybe in, like, weeks to come, I'll put out another one. But yeah, this year, my key theme is to outwork everyone in my field.
Boom.
Yeah, like, to make sure. But in December, I can say max to put 5 projects, like, because obviously one of them's a beat thing, but really I've got 3 main projects. Electric 001 was one of my 3 main things. So we got Predator or Prey, August. Uh-huh. Electric 02, November. That's the next 2 projects. Cool. I got a single coming with Gigs. I got so much stuff. I've produced all of it. Like, so I'm just sitting in the chair looking at all the stock that I've got, knowing that most people don't have that stock this year.
Yes, you know who it is. It's the Big Cam Dog, aka the Weatherman, aka Kamikaze, out here in Brussels at Panic Radio with my G, Ice on Selector, for All About Grime. Trust me.
Listen up.
Yeah.